There are two realities. The one is what we experience every day. The other's behind. The one is a dream. And the other is what we call the Matrix.
phone is very special. Me and Rax engaged in phone love over that phone.
This is we're recording. We're recording on Dual Parallel. This is Radio Freak America 21, back from H2K2. Welcome, Rax. Say it again, you broke up.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yo.
And I'm joined by Mary Chan. No Skylar tonight.
No, I don't know. I couldn't get a hold of her. I guess she has work again or something, or, you know, Skylar.
Work should never get in the way of hacking and making radio shows.
Because you need to eat.
That's right.
What's happening to the phone? Who's hitting it?
I am. It's acting weird tonight for some reason. Hold on, let me turn off the background music. Okay.
It's very special background music. It made the show them.
It was. Loosened me up. That was good music, actually. And of course, I'm sure you listeners are going to know that the big discussion tonight, probably the biggest topic, is going to be H2K2. We didn't have a show last week. I was actually on travel after H2K2. Rax.
And I was just burned out, that's all.
You were burned out from what, Rax?
I'm working my ass off.
Rax busted his butt. Rax worked...
Rax was H2K2's whore.
He was. He worked way more than 8 hours a day. Actually, and I'm glad. Actually, Rax, I'm really glad you did this. You worked the night we got there Thursday night.
I worked from 9 o'clock in the morning Thursday, hauling shit around to set up stuff.
Right. Rax got there before me, and then when I got there, I took over. What?
It was about 2 a.m.
I think it was like 1 actually.
1 or 2, whatever, yeah. Something like that. So yeah. I worked from like 9 o'clock in the morning. Till 2 o'clock the next morning, helping set up the shit.
And then, so he worked a full day, came back, hit the sack. I went, and then he said, go take over for me, because he said he didn't need help, and I'm glad I did. I went and I helped Chris and everything set up, and I only worked a few hours, like 1 to like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., something like that.
And then you slept till like, no, was that the next day you slept till noon?
That was the next day I slept, probably past noon. I was tired, man. I was grumpy. Don't you remember? I was like really grumpy on Friday morning. I was bitchy.
Right.
But it was a great experience. I'm glad I volunteered. Met a lot of great people. Did a lot of things.
No, not only that, folks. Not only was I being a roadie and helped setting up all the stuff and that, I was in, for anyone that was there, room A, which was the big room. All day Friday, I shot all the video there. And then Saturday and Sunday, another guy came in that had a regular pro camera. I just had like a consumer DV cam. The other guy had the pro cam, but I was still helping out with all the stuff around there. So basically, pretty much all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, you got to see like all the best presentations.
There was a couple. I don't know if I'd say best. I mean, I think what they did is they figured which would be the most popular, and they put it in a larger room, which just makes sense. But there was a few presentations that went on in the other room, in room B, that I would have liked to have seen. But it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah, because Lucky 225 is in B, and that was great. That was phenomenal. I mean, what a crescendo when he finally did it at the end. That was just great. I hope everybody saw that one. Actually, I do. Besides that one, I think the best ones were in A. You know, even the Haven Co. was great. You know, all the, like you say, the less popular ones. But it was good. It was really good. It was a phenomenal conference. I hope everybody went. If you didn't, check it out. Read up about it.
I went.
Mary Chan went, and I'm so glad you went. I had so much fun with you. That was a blast.
Mary Chan went, and the whole profile of the thing looked better. First of all, in case any listeners haven't gone to these one of the cons, let me tell you, it's not really a place to pick up chicks.
That's right.
Second of all, the females that are there, you may not really be interested in. So when Mary Chan showed up, it sure brightened up the scenery.
Yeah, well, there was some... Definitely, Mary Chan was one of the hottest ones there, and there were some attractive women there. Now, what did you think? What did you think of the people you met there?
Her.
Sorry, I was looking at her.
I didn't actually talk directly to some people. There were a couple of people I saw speaking. Mentor, for one, I thought was just fascinating.
Yeah, that was great.
Because I mean, I could just completely relate to what he was talking about there. Also, Aaron. Aaron.
The keynote.
Yes, that guy was just great to listen to. Also. That, and I don't know, I didn't really talk to directly to too many people. I sort of walked around handing out little mini disc with Old School Freak written on them, you know, from actually 20 of our episodes, and you'd be surprised how many people take them when you go, hey, here are nude photos of me, you know?
Swag. Old School Freak porn swag.
Hey, it works better than spread the word about Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. There actually, that was there, by the way. Did you get the Hacker for Jesus stuff? There was like a Christian hacker guy handing out stuff. Unbelievable.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
It's like, what did he say? Yeah, Jesus was a hacker, man.
He didn't say a damn thing. He just handed out stuff just like a crazy guy at a college campus, you know?
Actually, if you think about it, it would fit. You know, Jesus was a hacker. You know, he had long hair and a beard. He was anti-establishment. He just hung out with a bunch of guys. I mean,
that's right.
Hackers, you know? What can you say?
He was persecuted by the government because of it.
The ultimate social engineer. Now, we had swag. We were handing out swag. I think people liked it. I hope they did. What about the other swag racks? What happened with the bumper stickers?
Oh, dude, I am so bummed. So we had this bumper stickers. I'm gonna name names and spill beans here. I'd recommend you consider strongly if you're going to buy anything from the website that's called unamerican.com or Sticker Nation. I saw these guys from Sticker Nation at DEF CON last year and bought some stickers and some buttons and all that. So they had a new thing, and I go and checked out their website periodically, and they had a great bumper sticker like it says, "Please don't start World War III. Anyway, so they had this new thing they had that they would custom print up your bumper stickers. So, you know, I filled out the stuff, I emailed the guy off, Shreenies, the guy's name, and emailed off the stuff, had a couple of questions, was waiting, didn't get an answer, so I just went ahead and ordered anyway, you know, got all the confirmation and everything else for my credit card, and then I emailed, finally got it, like, you know, a couple of weeks after I put the thing in, I finally got an email back, he says, oh yeah, I answered my question, he said, yeah, you know, if you order it this week, I'll definitely get it to you for H2K2. And I emailed him back saying, well, I ordered it 2 weeks ago and paid for it. Didn't hear a damn thing from him. So I start investigating around. I do a whois on both those domains, and I look up and I get this phone number in California. So I call it, and it sounds like this guy's mom.
This dude lives with his mom. Okay, go ahead.
He's like in North Carolina. It's a college town, so he's probably going to college, and that's cool, you know. Right. I'm cutting the guy a lot of slack because, you know, being a small business or whatever, he's doing this on the side going to college, that's fine. But, you know, I ordered it like on June 14th for H2K2, and the damn stuff didn't show up. So anyway, I'm investigating around. So I looked up the town because it just has a P.O. box. I looked up the town that he's in, looked that up on the web, called the Chamber of Commerce, called a business licensing for the city that he's in, and got the street address and phone number. Well, I called the phone number and it's disconnected. So probably after we get the show done tonight, I'm calling the credit card company and say, hey, I'm disputing this charge, you know, credit me back on it. Let's start the paperwork because, I mean, that's just bullshit.
That's right.
I cut the guy a lot of slack. If he would have had it, you know, he would have, you know, we would have easily gotten out the $500 there. Plus, and we can talk about this a little bit later, I'm going to be going to DEF CON in August. We could probably give out another 500 stickers there.
Not to mention pimping his site, pimping his products by word of mouth, which is very effective, if I'm correct. Beware the wrath of Rax.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I got all the stuff. I don't know if this was his home address or whatever. Oh, plus, get this. I mean, this could be fraud on the credit card bill. They put the phone number of the company. Well, I called that. That was somewhere in California, another phone number, 415 area code. And the guy says, no, he's been getting a lot of calls. He's some French-sounding guy in this in a studio apartment somewhere in California. And so
that's his lover.
A lot of calls. So a lot of people are getting pissed about this.
That's great.
You want the lemonade?
Well, anyway, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to look in. There's a company where I live that does stickers. So for those of you going to DEF CON, hopefully we'll have some stickers there for you. For those that we're looking for at H2K2, sorry, but if you're pissed, send mail bombs to stickernation.com.
That's right.
But, hey, you got nude pictures of me, so it all worked out.
Not quite nude. Maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show. That'd be like a bonus for the listeners.
Oh, God.
Mary Chan exposed.
Let's talk about some of the sessions that we did see.
Okay, again, my favorite was Lucky 225. I mean, it was great info. The Software Orange Box was cool. Spoofin' and I was awesome, and just it couldn't have worked out any better. I'm sure he was, I don't think he was sweating it, but, you know, just trying to get it to work, and then they were trying to push him off stage, and then he got it to work on the screen. It was just so awesome. It was just, it was phenomenal. The drama, the adventure, it was great.
My favorite thing was Mentors, because he was like this one guy I was talking to, and I went and said, yes, exactly. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
So you really related to him.
Completely. The whole high school thing, I mean, my high school thing, I mean, I went to horrible public high school, awful, awful education system, you know, I mean, just, you know, I was either bored out of my mind or had no clue what people were talking about, and I was just bored. I never learned anything. I think I was like on my third year of high school, and I was like, I haven't learned anything.
That sucks.
I mean, when I was thinking about this, like, with the exception of what I'm curious about, what I actually go to the library about, what I read and study on my own or learn from people more experienced than me, I really haven't learned anything insanely useful in high school. I mean, no offense, but the job careers I'm really interested in have no real need for geometry or algebra or anything. And
regardless, they should have learned something there. You were saying, Rax?
Now, let's actually talk about, for the listeners, let's go into a little bit of this. The mentor is quoted, if anyone has seen the movie Hackers, it was quoted in there when the two feds were sitting in the car reading it. It's the quote-unquote hacker manifesto.
The conscience of a hacker.
But if you look up, do a search on Google or whatever, and conscience of a hacker, and read this. Now, this guy was a disenfranchised high school youth at the time. Now he looks like a WWF wrestler.
He's yeah.
Big, bald, and burly. But so he's writing about, you know, finding out about, like, hating school and not fitting in, and then he finds computers and gets into it and really gets off on it. And so a lot of people related to that. He got the only standing ovation in the whole thing.
I thought Aaron Magruder got a standing ovation.
You know, I don't remember that. Maybe he did.
Well, I definitely stood up for the mentor. That was very good. It was emotional. You know, I don't know if it was the atmosphere. The aura that of all those you know, all those smart, great people there, all those hackers there. It was dare I say it, moving. Mm. I didn't cry or anything. You know,
I did.
She cried. And Rax, what was your favorite?
Rax cried too.
No, I wasn't crying. I was working the camera. I couldn't cry. Men don't cry.
That's right.
Anyway, my favorite. I enjoyed a lot of it. Actually, I think a lot of people might agree with this. The one that seemed to generate the most buzz on the listserv after it and everything was the lockpicking one.
Oh, that was awesome. That was really good.
You know, I was up there shooting close-up footage with my camera, and they're eventually supposed to take and make all this video available somehow, but we probably shot about 60 hours worth of videotape, so, you know, don't expect it to be out next week or anything. But it was great. This guy was from the Netherlands, and apparently, it's a pretty big hobby in Europe, just, you know, lockpicking and stuff.
The German lockpicking championships, yes.
Yeah, and so he said he even sits there, watches movies, and does lockpicking, but they explained that there was the Dutch guy, it was like Bernie the Key or something is his name, and then there was a guy in a suit, which I thought was weird, but he was actually, I guess, like a locksmith or whatever, and they did this presentation, and they had all different kinds of locks. Now, this is really interesting. School lockers. Now, in Europe, they don't use the same kind of like master padlocks on, you know, combination locks on
right.
lockers like we do here. So someone brought him that, and he played with it, and he said rather than trying to break the combination, what he did, he had this little tool that was a piece of spring steel, and he popped it in there, and literally within 1 second, he opened up that lock.
It was basically just a shim, and all he did is push back the pin that held the shackle. Funny you mention that, Rax. Mary Chan had that same lock on her bag, and I asked her, why is that there? You know, that master padlock from high school. She said, oh, I had that in high school. I put it on, and I forgot the combination. And then she left, and then sure as shit, you know, Barry the Pickwells, if I'm correct, did that to that master lock. I couldn't believe it. You could have popped that lock off your bag right there in a second. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he said basically if they would if the master company or whatever it's called would have spent like one penny more per lock, that would have
right.
prevented that from happening. But there was other. I mean, you know, he showed other locks, the so-called unpickable locks. Took one, you know, they had all this, you know, as opposed to a normal key, the way the things are, they were on the horizontal plane of it, and he put a piece of aluminum tape in there, put it in the lock that was already locked, and made a key. They took tubular, you know, circular locks. They had a special device for that, and you could, again, read and make a key off of that. So I think that was probably about the most widely talked about one afterwards.
Yeah, that was a great, great session. And if I may, I want to add to that a little bit. I actually met this man, a great guy, and he taught me. He actually had picked locks, been picking locks for a long time here in the States, and he gave me some tips. And actually, he basically drew a diagram of how to make your own pick set out of hacksaw blades. And why would you do this? Well, first of all, you could make the lifter and wrench to your own specifications. So you can make them, try them out. If they don't work, you can change them or start again. And, of course, hacksaw blades are cheap. You know, put some bluing on them, you know, some steel blue. And also, what was the other tip he gave me? Oh, here's what he did to practice. And he said his wife picks, too. He basically built a little box that he mounted on a wall. And inside the box is his toilet paper. So if he or his wife wanted to use the restroom, I don't know if this is weird or funny, but I think it's great. wanted to use the restroom, they had to basically have a seat, relax, and pick the lock to get to the toilet paper.
I thought
that was phenomenal. I don't know. If his wife's into it, I mean...
No, I don't think I want to go over to his house for a dinner party.
No, maybe not. Hey, man, can I borrow your pick set? Oh, I brought my own. You know, and using the hacksaw blades, I've yet to do it. I still want to do that. So, hey, if you can, make your own pick set and practice.
Hey, you can practice my lock.
I can't. Well, that one's easy. Just take that little shim thing Rex was talking about.
Now, some other ones that were interesting. Now, it's not just about all that. There was a lot of computer stuff. There was a thing on war driving, fun with 802.11b. That was pretty interesting. They showed both, I can't remember the Linux program, but it was a command line program for Linux, and they showed NetStumbler for Windows.
It was Kismet, K-I-S-M-E-T.
You know, that's actually a fun fact. That's Arabic for fate.
Really?
Yeah. I saw a musical a long time ago called Kismet that takes place in, like, the Middle East, and they all sing about Kismet because, like, it's about this guy and all these series of events happen to him, you know, just due to Kismet fate. So.
Wow.
That is correct. Now what was interesting is people started playing around with SSID strings, and as they were talking, I mean, they hacked it live, real time. They hacked it as they were sitting there. So they were showing what was going on and all the traffic and everything else, and then people started putting SSIDs and other messages up there saying, the first one was... shout or clap if you can read them.
Yeah.
And everyone started clapping in the middle, and they turned around and looked.
They didn't know what was going on because it scrolled past, it was funny.
Yeah, scrolling past on this big, 16-foot wide screen. So that was really cool. Some interesting and fun things there. What else? Aaron Magruder, the cartoonist that does Boondocks. And they had him there as Emmanuel introduced him. They said, it was basically because he was the only cartoonist that seemed to get, or the only person in the media that seemed to understand the DCMA and the ramifications. And I like the way Aaron started. First of all, he comes on.
You mean DCSS?
DCSS, even not DCMA. Yeah. Anyway, so he comes on. First of all, his hair is all like out, looks like a Rastafarian and stuff. But anyway, he comes out and he goes, I didn't know what I was going to say to a bunch of hackers. He says, first of all, this is his exact quote. He says, y'all scare me or something.
Did he really say that?
He said, y'all scare me. He says, I wasn't going to say no. You're going to mess up my computers.
Oh, please.
Which is great. He got a lot of laughs in that.
Oh, I bet.
About all this stuff.
That's funny.
Well, just listening to him in general is just, great.
Was he a good speaker?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know he was there. I walked in, I was like, oh my God, I've heard of that guy. The New York Times, I don't remember the whole story, but after 9/11, I guess he published some stuff that was a little controversial, I think.
No kidding.
Well, I think it was totally against the idea of everyone selling flags, because, he said openly, I think, don't know, quote me on this, but he said, I think, if I'm getting the right person, it was just a cruel way to, make expense off a tragedy or something.
Good time.
And I remember that every night when everyone's down the street, want to buy a flag? Hey,
That's right.
Where's your flag?
That's
And so apparently,
shallow patriotism.
Yeah. Does all this, So he makes all these comments after the post on one thing, and the New York Times actually, I think it was the New York Times or some New York magazine actually suspended his publication for a while.
I'm pretty sure.
Rax, maybe you know more about this, or
yeah, a month and a half. The New York Times didn't print his strip because he was writing about things about that, so they were censoring that. But hey, speaking of cartoons. A friend told me about this, but if you go to Doonesbury.com, Doonesbury the cartoons, and click on the daily strips or whatever, and go look on this Sunday, July 21st, they have a strip about war driving.
Yeah, and it's actually really funny.
It is.
It's really hilarious.
And we'll put a link up to that on the site too. But
yeah.
So that was good. Now the other thing, though, there was obviously a lot talked about technology. They talked about the Ford Motor case and Nissan. I didn't see that. It was called Bullies on the Net, but Emmanuel talked about that. They were talking about the DCSS case. They talked about the Ford case and those things. But there also a lot of stuff was talked about was about freedom. Not free as in free beer, free as in free. Bernie S was up there talking about apparently he had gotten in trouble with authorities for some of the materials and that he had that was published by the federal government, but some of the materials he had when they got a search warrant to check his house or place of business, and I only caught part of that, but, so a lot of stuff was talked about freedom. There was also Indie Media, I-N-D-Y, Media, Independent Media, and basically what this is if you remember a few years ago in Seattle, the World Trade Organization was having their meetings there, and there was all kinds of protests. Well, what they were doing... CNN and all these other regular media was reporting, you know, about this, you know, about this. They weren't using the word terrorist because that was pre 9/11, so terrorist. The word terrorist didn't sell ratings, as we've talked about those kinds of things before. But anyway, they were basically painting these people who were protesting in a really negative light. So what stemmed out of that is this indie media, and it's indiemedia.com, and they literally have news bureaus around the world, and journalists, people who write articles, write about from a different perspective of the non-corporate media, you know, writing about various events. And they talked about how to get involved in that, and they talked about some of the technology behind that. So that was a very cool thing, too. And that was, you know, that was really for a freedom thing. That was not just a, you know, just a hacking or a freaking or whatever.
Right.
That was very cool.
I can actually recall, I don't remember how old this is. My mother told me about it, though. She used to protest a lot, you know, whole nom thing, I guess. And apparently there was, like, a group of protesters there, and the police, you know, came, was trying to stop them, you know, peaceful protest, and they all just started chanting, the whole world is watching, because, you know, bunch of cameras there and everything, you know, and, you know, the news just, you know, saw them, you know, attacking these, you know, peaceful protesters.
Right. Well, it's never been, that's never been more true as it is today. You know, world news goes, you know, around the world in seconds. But, you know, we gotta be careful. We're touching on almost every part of H2K2. I'm sure people don't want a blow by blow of every session.
I'm sure they do.
And then we walk to another
maybe they do.
Room.
Maybe they do, but.
And they had water. And we drank some water.
Then I used the restroom. I used the elevator. No.
We forgot the camera and went back up again to the room.
Now, I brought my analog camera. Anyways, and I brought my laptop. That was fun. The wireless networks worked really well up until Sunday. Sunday it didn't work too well. I didn't bring much technology other than that. You know, I brought my FRS radios.
And Game Boy.
And my Game Boy.
Pokemon Crystal.
No, I didn't have Pokemon then. I was playing Zelda then. But Rax, on the other hand.
Oh, dude, I was loaded for bear.
Dude, big time.
Told you.
You weren't lying, man. All I had was carry-on.
Okay, here's what I had. I had my tripod. I had my digital camera. I had my laptop. I had my DV camera. I had a dozen tapes. I had 40 AA batteries. I had about 20 AAA batteries. I had my my wireless mouse. I had, gosh, what else did I have? My 802.11b. I had power strips. I had all this stuff, man.
Sound bugs.
Rocking and rolling.
You had your sound bugs.
I had my sound bugs, yeah.
Those are really cool, by the way.
Yeah, very cool things on ThinkGeek. You can you plug them into a computer. It has a suction cup. You affix them to a flat surface, and it turns that entire surface into a speaker. It doesn't matter if there's other stuff on there. It doesn't really rattle or anything. It's very cool.
It was very cool. So Rax definitely was hauling around a big, heavy suitcase. do you know, did I tell you I went traveling after H2K2? So I had carry-on, just two carry-on bags, and I traveled for two more days after that.
Yeah, well, I was gone 10 days prior to that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, never mind then. You did have a lot. I'm glad you had all that technology, too. And, you know, the best wireless connection, when you took me to the, what was that, the...
Well, the tunnel between the two rooms, or...
Yeah, I don't know where...
That was the green room for the speakers to go to, yeah.
That was, oh, man, right where the switch was and the access point? Dude, that was great connection there.
Yeah. So we were, you know, that was the benefit of having the, you know, the elevated badge. I could go where I wanted to. Now, Duel, we got to tell them about the couple of other little hacking events. One, first was, as we were sitting there waiting for the movies on, what was it, Friday night?
Yeah.
As they were trying to get the projector going in with the movie,
oh, yeah.
Two people pulled out laser pointers, and they were doing, like, Breakout. And then a third person pulled out, and they were doing Pong.
That was so great.
Laser pointers.
That was so hilarious. That was a full-on elite hack. That was so funny.
They hacked that, so we got that on tape. I got some night shots of the crowds, and that, in addition to doing the regular filming, I was doing some setup filming and some other kinds of fill things in that around. So we got a bunch of that stuff.
Are you going to talk about your lead hack, hacking the media?
Oh yeah, we'll get to that one in a second.
Okay, we can save that one.
Yeah, I don't know how we've set that up without getting, you know, without exposing a lot of our sources and that. But think about that one for a sec. But the other thing was, you know, we were on the 18th floor. All right. And that's where all the main stuff was going on. And they had a couple of express elevators between the 18th floor, the second floor, and the lobby. And most of the people were staying at the hotel. By the way, Dave Barry was right. The Hotel Pennsylvania is a dive. But anyway, so anyway, they had these. And I mean, there's literally hundreds of people going out after the movies, and they're standing there waiting. They had these three express elevators, and there was probably about what, seven other regular elevators. So people are just milling around waiting, and you know. I'm one of those people that when you're driving on the street, you know, and there's like 10 people in the left-hand lane and two people in the right-hand lane, I get into the right-hand lane. I don't want to be the 11th person in line. I'd rather be the third person in the other line.
You deviant.
Yeah. You know, I don't color within the lines. But anyway, so we're standing there. I'm standing there for about a second, and they say, I turn to Duel and say, follow me. And what we did is, rather than waiting around with 500 other people to catch 10 elevators, we walked down one flight of stairs, caught another elevator, and beat everyone out.
Instantly. It was so nice.
Yeah, so we hacked the crowd or hacked the elevators there.
That's right. Or we could have took the freight elevators.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, well, that's kind of nasty back there.
Yeah, it is. Big time.
Pennsylvania's a dive, man. I got to see it in all the bowels and going through these tunnels made in, you know, 1912 and everything. It was really grungy.
Did you see in our room, of course, we had that big closet, and did you see the access door into the space in between the walls? I don't know, what, the crawl space? Did you see that? Did you look in there?
Yeah.
With all the pipes and the wires? Holy moly.
Yeah. Now, how are we going to talk about this hacking the media? How are we going to bring this one up to us?
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't even talk about it.
Well, we got. We'll give the.
How about we just say
a whole bunch of stuff happened first? But anyway,
how about we just yeah scratch that. How about we just say that he's a correspondent?
He's a correspondent for Nightline, and I got tape of him talking about hacking at the H2K2 conference.
At H2K2, we got this guy to go into H2K2. Up to the, was it the 18th floor or just the mezzanine?
The 18th floor. We went all the way up there when they had a thing going on.
Oh, yeah, because you had to get your camera.
Yeah.
So we got this correspondent. We're just going to say correspondent.
Okay.
And Rax basically smooth-talked him. I mean, Rax was just, it was silk.
I had motor mouth that time.
It was silk, Rax. and you got it on tape. You don't have the tape, though, if I'm correct.
Yeah, no, that was on the fill tape of stuff for H2K2, but I'm going to email Emmanuel. And let them know, first of all, who that is, because they might not know who it is right away. But I want to get that and put on the little video that we're going to put up on Old School Freak. Now, Mary Chan and Duel saw the preview cut, but I had about 3 minutes of footage I shot for myself, and did a little bit of editing, mixed some extra sound in there, and I think all you folks out there are going to like it. If you didn't get a chance to go to H2K2, it'll just give you a little flavor of it.
Just a little flavor.
And Naked Duel.
And yeah, maybe I'll decide. I don't know if I want that up there.
If I was you, man, that's too. Not even in the incriminating part, but you know, if you've seen, everyone should have seen on the website. Now we had they had the H2K2. I mean, the 2600 van out there. So we got another one of the hacker dudes around there to take my digital camera, and we got a picture of me and Duel standing in front of the 2600 van. Of course, we put our ID badges up to cover part of our face. You know, so. You know, I don't necessarily want to, you know, have that kind of stuff identified, so that was like full-on profile and everything else of you, Duel. So if that was me, I would not want to put that up for general consumption. Now, I could have mixed it into the other one. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, figuring you'd want a little anonymity.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And yeah, you're probably right. I'll probably err on this on the side of caution. But it sure was funny. That was hilarious.
I show my face on the webpage. There's one photo of me, and it's blurry, but you can see my face.
Yeah, well, you're still anonymous. I mean, it's, and not to mention, you know what, honestly, the community, you know, like Aaron Magruder said, of course, is a joke that, hey, you hackers scare me. But you know what? I trust no one more. I mean, sure, you know, we've got our quirks. We like to collect information. We don't like anybody getting information about us. But regardless, as Meme says, it's family. You know, it's a community. We are a community. I would trust a hacker more than some suit, more than, well, sometimes the government.
Actually, speaking of, did you guys play Spot the Suit at H2K2?
No, that's a different conference.
Yeah, that's DEF CON. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, Rex is going to talk about DEF CON. I want to touch on one more thing. That film Owned was great. It was a different feel than Freedom Downtime. Both were definitely, I think both are equal. The feel's different, but Owned was a really, really, really good film.
They had a few other movies that they showed after the conference stuff was over, like about 10 o'clock at night. They had in the back part. They showed Freedom Downtime. They showed Owned, and they showed a couple other things too. They had the people there from Negative Land. They were showing some video stuff in that they have done, and some various other things. But there was some other good video there.
Yeah, that's Owned is the only one I saw. I was busy doing many, many other things. Last thing I want. Actually, I got two things I want to talk about. One. Some websites that I think are pretty special that you should visit from H2K2. Of course, go to lockpicking.org. Yeah, I know it's in German, but I guarantee you, I know you hackers and freaks are smart enough to get some great information out of that site. Not to mention, it's a good read, the English that is on the site. Second, Remailer.havenco.com. Havenco is just a cool story in itself, but they also run an anonymous remailer, so use it. Third, mods.dk. If you like RF, you're into scanners, radio, stuff like that, go to mods.dk and Denmark and mod your scanner. It's a great site, by the way. It's actually laid out very well, considering all the info they have on it.
It's mods as in modify.
That's right, mods.dk. Any special URLs you got from that that great conference?
I was too tired to collect URLs. I didn't even get to hardly see the city.
Dude, you busted ass. Me and Mary-Chan walked around. We hit the subways. We did a lot of stuff.
I took him to Times Square.
Me to Times Square. Went to a cool stores. And, of course, while we were out... No! I got some souvenirs. And what kind of souvenirs does Duel get when he goes traveling?
Porn.
Wait, where is it? Hold on. Where'd it go? Okay. I got a DVD...
Or DVD in this case.
Yeah, that's right, DVD. I got DVD. This is my souvenir from New York. What does it say?
The Ladies Phone Club.
That's right,
does it all.
The Ladies Phone Club, baby. This is like Japanese. It's like Japanese softcore porn. Look at that, though. Ass shot, baby. Oh, and I got something else.
Hyper Girls, I think it was called.
Why, Rax, you're correct. Playboy's Cyber Girls. I mean, what perfect for H2K2 in New York. What kind of souvenirs? Am I going to get a postcard? Am I going to get little Statue of Liberty salt and pepper shakers? No. I'm getting cyber porn, baby.
Okay, hey, speaking of souvenirs, we got to tell the thing for the end of the conference. I saw this as we were setting up right in around outside of the hotel as we're hauling all these trusses and all this other equipment in to get set up. There was this little souvenir shop, and they had the gauchest...
Give me the porn!
Look at it!
No!
Why not?
All right, fine, look at it.
Yay.
Sorry, Rex, go ahead.
So they had the gauchest stuff in there, but what they had these belt buckles, and they would put, you know, your name or whatever in the belt buckle.
Yeah.
Then they got a bunch of guys together, we chipped in the money.
That's right.
And got this belt buckle for a manual that said H2K2, and it had rhinestones on it, and a silver belt buckle, and I presented it to him on stage at the end. So.
That was so pimp, man. I'm so happy I got to contribute to such a wonderful and classy gift.
Everyone cracked up. Emmanuel was cracking up and that, so I don't know if he mentioned it on the show, but I'm going to see if I can get him to put it in the next magazine or something.
That's what it's all about, baby.
Yeah.
Rhinestone-encrusted jewelry. Dude, the only thing better... Then the giant H2K2 belt buckle would be like one of those giant rings that went all across four fingers. Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get one. That is so pimp. That is so pimp. Okay, so, you know, hey, listeners, you can tell me what kind of souvenirs you got. I bet you anything you didn't get porn like me.
Yeah, you know, if you were there, drop us an email. You know,
yeah, let us know. Let us know if you saw us. We got pictures up on the site. You know, let us know if you got some swag. Let us know if you like it. Rex, did you get a CD? Did you get one to keep?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I've got a couple more, actually. I'm going to take them to the next meeting. Next weekend. Not this weekend coming up, but next weekend, first weekend of August, everybody, 2600 meetings, go.
And I'm going to be missing this one, too. I missed the last one because I was doing my vacation before H2K2. Next one, which is the first weekend of August, I am going to DEF CON 10 in Las Vegas.
Very nice.
Here's your porn back.
Thank you. And
why was she was reading that prawn, you know?
I like the article.
Actually, there's no articles in that one. Oh, anyways. So you're going to DEF CON 10.
DEF CON 10 in Vegas. Went last year. Very similar in a lot of respects, different in a few others. First of all, there's a big, like, you know, big buck, like multiple thousands of dollars conference that's called the Black Hat Briefings that goes on that week. In Vegas, and, you know, security people from, you know, corporations and stuff pay to be there, and different presentations and all that. And literally, they pay a couple of grand to go to this thing. Well, and I don't know how long they've been dovetailing these things together, but DEF CON is at that weekend, so it starts that Friday. And it's 3 days, it's not 3 days of peace, love, and understanding, it's 3 days of freaks, tones, and mods or something, I guess, but... it's at the Lexus Park Hotel, pretty close to the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, and it's just all a bunch of, you know, another bunch of geeks and freaks and hackers. Now, the only thing, a couple of things that are different there, first of all, there's a pool to hang out by, so it's really weird to see all these pasty-faced hacker-type people with the mohawk, green mohawk hair and black t-shirts hanging out by the pool during daylight. But aside from that,
the pool is, you know, clogged to foam body here at the end of the day, and it's feels like a top, it's a thin layer of grease on the top.
No. Come on, give some credit here. Go on, Rex.
But now they have, the people that do the Black Hat briefings have it professionally videotaped and audio taped. And I guess they use the same crew for doing that at DEF CON. And then they make the either the audio or the video available for sale after that. Plus, they have a dedicated vendor area where people are selling like T-shirts, and Loom Panics is there for, you know, alternative press kind of books on, you know, various subjects like lockpicking and how to make a bazooka and actually the fine art of human cannibalism and all these other kinds of weird things. But then there's people that are selling like old computer gear, so you can buy like old SGI indie boxes, you know, the purple boxes, right, and mod them or whatever. So they have all that going on. Plus, they have a different kind of thing they call Capture the Flag, where I guess people start out with identical images of, you know, whatever, some distro, and the object is to break into this main server, but also to break into other teams' servers and try to crash their server and whatever else. So that's going on 24/7, all 3 days of the conference. And this year they're adding a new thing. They're having a word driving contest around Vegas, and it spells out all the rules and that, but basically, you know, if you come in with, you get so many points for finding each access point, you get so many points if they are not web-enabled, you get more points if it's an access point that no one else found, and so on and so forth. So that's a new thing they're doing as well.
Now that sounds kind of fun, but a lot of it sounds, I've never been, so I don't know, but a lot of it just sounds too, I don't know, structured. It sounds too commercial. I really like the feel. Like I said, I haven't been, but I can just imagine. I really like the feeling that I got when I was at H2K2. You know, it just felt right to me.
Well, I think you're right. It's definitely more structured in the sense that I think it's done a little more like a business as opposed to a volunteer thing, and I think it was a very organic kind of thing. And you know, and I was a part of it, so you know, I was really cool with the H2K2 vibe. You know, they have like, you know, multiple rooms, three or four rooms of sessions going on simultaneously as well. I mean, you know, that's where I first got turned on to war driving was at DEF CON last year. And they have like the newbie area where they have, you know, cover basic topics, and they have the lead hacksaw room. And they have another room for, you know, where they're spinning tunes and everything else, and got the lights and everything else going. So all that other stuff is going on as well as all these other things I was talking about. So it's definitely, you know, seminars and presentations and all that as well. And that's where they have the Spot the Fed contest. They even have T-shirts. If you spot a Fed, and they periodically through the con, one of the organizers goes on stage and says, okay, let's play Spot the Fed. Who thinks they found a Fed? And someone will stand up, and they'll point out the person they think's a Fed. So they'll bring both of those people up on stage, and this organizer guy knows his feds pretty well, because the one I saw him do last year, he said, okay, you know, so you know, what area do you work in? It's East Coast or West Coast? And this, and he kind of narrows it down. He says, okay, how many gates do you have to go through to get to your building? Is it the loop? Is it the gray building or the gold building? Is it title assistant director? Is assistant director in your title? You know, and so on and so forth. So the guy really knew his feds. And it was interesting. The one guy that was there that they spotted worked for the NSA, and is probably as near as we could figure, probably doing stuff with cryptography. And someone else that they spotted, there was another Fed they brought up on stage. And the funniest thing was, the first guy, he was pretty cool about it. You know, he was you know, giving out information, but not giving out information. The second guy, is when he comes on stage, first of all, they're dressed almost identically. Like, they called each other up and said, what are you going to wear today? And green polo shirts, khakis, and then, you know, like penny loafers. And
that's
how both these feds dressed. It was hilarious. But, so the guy who spotted the Fed gets a t-shirt, says, I spotted the Fed, and the people who are the feds get a t-shirt, says, I am the Fed.
How apropos.
That was so fun.
That does sound like fun.
Are the feds good-natured about it?
Oh, yeah. They have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could refuse to go up on stage in that and whatever, you know, or just turn around and walk out. But, you know, it's all in good fun, and people get thrown into the pool. And the one bad thing last year, because the thing's expanding and they took all the conference space in the Alexis Park, well, there's like an area up on the roof. They got it up to the roof, and they had this like tent, like the, you know, like a big tent, like they'd have wedding receptions or whatever in.
Right.
And they had this tent up on the roof, but the air conditioning died. And you're talking Las Vegas in the middle of the summer, you know, you're probably talking 100 plus degrees. You know, you get a bunch of sweaty, stinky hackers in there. Hanging there, because it's like, you know, Cult of the Dead Cow was doing their stuff up there and everything else. So it was not pleasant up on the roof. So I'm hoping the air conditioners are working up there this year.
Yeah, they better be.
And the other thing that was cool, I got to throw this last part in. last year, I mean, they had, you know, like they had food stuff and that, but they had like every caffeinated beverage you could find. They had like six flavors of Jolt soda, and all this other stuff in there. So they had munchies and everything else right in the thing there.
Oh, you were in heaven, weren't you?
Oh man, yeah. Orange Jolt soda is great.
That's kind of gross, actually.
Actually, not as good as a 180, but it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, 180 is your favorite. That has a Fed right. Now, speaking of, again, I'm drinking diet soda. Lovely. Now.
Caffeine's good.
Now, if the Fed, who was at the 2600 meeting last month, is listening, and I hope you are, you know, take a page from these guys at DEF CON and come hang with us, you know. You know, I'm sure some of our comments may seem kind of, well, you know, brash, but hey. Check it out. Check us out. We're on the same side. You know, we'd love to learn from you. I'm sure you could learn something from us. Actually, you probably could. Please, be friendly. Again, the friendly hand again. Now, hey, can I give some shout-outs right now? Actually, one shout-out, Rax. Is that cool?
Go for it. Go for it.
This is to Condor. First of all, Condor, we missed you. We wish you were there at H2K2.
Hi, Condor.
Hi, Condor. And second, Condor, thanks for helping me with my code. Rax, I don't know if I told you this, but Condor's been helping me with my socket coding, and he found out what was wrong with my last program, fixed it, and it works now. So I started out, you know, it's funny. I started helping him with C, and now he's helping me. I mean, he's amazing, so.
Student shall become the master.
No doubt. He is, man. He is, totally. So, shouts to Condor.
What's this program you're working on?
A very simple program. You know, I'm just starting to learn socket programming, and I'm understanding it now. You know, I've got a lot of code to look at, some tutorials. Basically, the only thing it does right now, it's pretty sorry. It's probably a pretty sorry attempt at coding, too, is open a socket connect and get the banner. I actually got the banner off your FTP server. It works great. I don't know if you logged that, but maybe I'll do it again and let you see it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
So, again, shouts to Condor and props, man. He totally fixed my code. He found out what function was busted and fixed it, so.
I guess Condor is going to be at the meeting coming up this month and all that.
He is. We already talked. We're going to be trading code, and it's great working with him. So, you know, even though he can't be on the show anymore, he's still with us in spirit.
Aww.
You're coming into town for the meeting this time, right?
I will be at the meeting. I will, and I'm going to miss you. That sucks. It's like I miss Condor, I miss you. It just sucks. Oh, well.
I won't be there, but remember the post-2600 meeting activity, and you can do that, and I'll be there in spirit.
Oh, yeah.
It's to make condolence, and I won't be there either.
You won't? I know, that's sad. Oh, you know what? I have some very, very sad news, listeners. Can I tell them?
Yes, you can.
Mary Chan will be leaving us in a couple of weeks. She's going to, I know, boo-hoo, it's sad. She's going to a college, a different college in another state, and she won't be able to record regularly. Hopefully we'll still hear from you,
okay.
Get you on the show, but recording a whole hour every week. And it makes me sad, because you really added something to the show. It's
sweet.
I know. And hugs. Aww. Aww. That was a very loving hug, everybody.
You know, feelies there.
No. Get your hands off me.
Squishy.
You're looking. I'm not squishy. I've got a six pack.
You said I was squishy.
Oh, I said you were squishy?
Yes.
You're
yes,
squishy
you did.
In all the right places, though.
Oh.
Which is good. Anyway, all right. Now, I want to talk about traveling with technology because, of course, if you travel, you're going to be in touch with a lot of technology. It all started with me getting on American Airlines, going to New York. And, of course, a lot of people have probably done this already. You have the automated check-ins. Go up, touch screen, stick in your credit card, and it's really quick. It's really easy. Screw the lines. Just use a computer. Don't know how secure it is. Don't know much about it, but it was fairly convenient. Next, I noticed the airline phones. I don't know. Have you ever used an airline phone, Rax?
No, I haven't, but going back a second to the check-in, I got to tell the people about my experiences. Hauling in all that gear that I had, so I'm leaving from the city that I'm in, flying out to New York, getting there like 4:30 in the morning because my flight's at 6, and in case they wanted to hassle me about all this gear I'm carrying, I just wanted to make sure I had plenty of time. So, you know, they put it through with the X-ray machine. They had the separate little plastic thing for the laptop. So I had my laptop, my DV camera, my camcorder, and then my digital video camera, and. They didn't care about the camera or the camcorder. The laptop and the little security guy with the braid on his shoulder, which I guess means he's head security guy, says, I'd like to do a random inspection of your laptop. What am I going to say? No. But I was interested to see what he did. So he took it off to the side. There was this stainless steel-topped table with a big sign that says, do not put anything on this table. He took it out, had this little cloth swab, and uh, swabbed it around the edges, had these long forceps, and swabbed it around the edges of the laptop and along the back, and then put it into a machine which basically sniffed it for chemical compounds to see if there was explosives in the laptop.
By the way, listeners, explosives are very, very sticky. If you work with them, they get all of your hands, they get everywhere. So it's easy to pick it up, and of course, it's probably just a mass spectrometer. They concentrate the air and check for explosives. And go on.
And so they, checked it. Obviously, I'm not a terrorist. I wasn't carrying anything bad on board. And so I get in, and that's fine. Next, my first destination I went to, I didn't go to New York directly. I went to another city, visited some family and friends. And then I got in the, did the airport there, just ran, put my laptop through the thing, ran through the x-ray, they didn't want to check it, didn't anything. Oh, by the way, regarding my DV camera and the camcorder, they didn't even bother looking at it. They didn't even care. Didn't even want to have me turn it on and see if it worked.
Funny.
Coming out of New York, I figured that was going to be the tightest security, and same kind of thing, ran my, I didn't check in my laptop and all that, that was on my carry-on bag, ran that all through the x-ray and that. And then, I get pulled aside for a little extra random search. And, so he's, the guy's right, doing the wand and that, and he checks, has me pull out my cell phone. Well, I've got the little Nokia 8290 phone with this chrome faceplate on it. And as he's checking it, wanding me and everything else and having me take off my shoes, he's talking to me about my little phone because he thought the phone was cool, So, so security was not really too bad. I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good experience. I do a lot of traveling, and I've actually had very good luck. Even when I get searched, I don't care. You were saying?
I got randomly searched, actually, and when I was headed to New York as well, and I don't know, and it was fine. Some lady just came up, and, she was like, hey, can we search you? I'm like, all right, and they actually let me go ahead of everybody else, actually. I got, first thing on the plane, even though I guess my shoes have a little bit of metal clip, because every single time I go through the detector, there's at least, me standing there for 5 minutes in this big airport just in my socks, and I always have a big feeling that someone's going to take my shoes and run off of them. I don't know why. They're really crappy shoes, but I'm just... I don't know. If I worked in airport security, I would do that. I would just take people's shoes and just run off of them and be like, can I see your shoes?
I've got a shoe fetish. Okay. So we've talked about the airport security quite a bit in the past. I want to talk about the technology that I encountered. Some of it was a little absurd. Oh, where's that calling card? Anyways, so first... talked about the automated check-in, pretty cool.
And now, let me give my automated check-in thing. As I'm going up there, it was touch screen in that, but as I looked on the one screen, it had the blue screen of death. It was running Windows NT.
No way.
Yeah. OD, right?
That is the epitome of traveling with technology, I think. Blue screen of death, then the airline phones. Of course, on American Airlines, they have AT&T airline phones, in the seat backs. They were not functioning. They had deactivated since March 2002 or something like that. So those were not working. Next, hotel remotes. Actually, I did some traveling after H2K2, and I've ran across these remotes before. Of course, they got the whole hotel net or some system where you can order movies and your porn and play video games. And the remotes are built to scam you. And next time you go to a hotel, notice the remote. These remotes, it looks like a normal, large-sized remote. Where the power button should be, the biggest colored button on the remote at the very top is not. It's like a menu button. And then the next is an order button. And the power is a little button way down at the bottom. Where you would think the volume and channel would be, on modern remotes, there are four arrows, you walk around with your thumb and, right and left for volume, up and down for channel. No, this is to navigate the menu. So the whole remote is built around, basically you purchasing services off this hotel net. And I think they're basically trying to scam you. Of course, they are designed for... Somebody put a lot of thought into designing that remote. Believe it, it's true. And they thought, well, should we put all that stuff down at the bottom where it's out of their way so they, what they really want is up at the top and it's nice and usable? No. Let's try to fool them into pressing the order button so they'll accidentally order a movie and then have to,
What do you expect?
Exactly. Well, it is what I expect. So I'll move on. Next, out of an airline magazine, and I can't... Oh, there it is. You may have talked about this in the past, Rax, IDT.
Yeah, that's my long-distance phone company.
Okay, well, you know what? They have a huge one-page advertisement in the airline magazines, and it's called Global Call, prepaid calling card. You rip it out. I actually tore mine out. Tear card out and take with you. Instant activation. Call today. Maybe we'll do that if we have enough time at the end of the show.
I'm sure we have left anyway.
We got about 15 minutes. Boy, man, we had a lot to talk about.
H2K2.
That was fun.
It was.
It was fun. Okay, so call 1-888-212-1684 to activate your card now. So, okay, $199 monthly service charge. I'd like to call us to find this out. Actually, I've got another, and if we have time, I've got another, basically a sticker I've been finding on Kokots lately, 800 max save, and we'll call that, and we'll really find out how much you'll save by using that. So if we have time, we'll do the global call right out of the airline magazine and 1-800 max save. Finally, through my travels and adventures, I came across, and I saw this phone quite a while ago, but I actually had time to mess with it. I had a little layover, and it was just so alluring. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the AT&T Public Phone 2000i. It is the newer version of the AT&T Public Phone 2000. This has a bigger color touchscreen. Basically what it is, it's a computer with a phone. It's a computer, but it's got a phone that you can make calling card calls, stick dollar bills in, make calls. Boy, I don't know. All right, I need to ask an opinion. I actually wrote a little article about it, and it might go into the electronic magazine Frequency. Mm. I don't know if I should talk about it here on the show or let the article come out first. All right, here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll best of both worlds. I got a certain level of access on this AT&T Public Phone 2000i. It's a really cool phone. It's only in airports right now. It's pretty advanced, I guess. I basically got a little farther into the phone than they probably ever wanted any person to go. Like I said, I wrote a little article about it, what I figured out, and sent that to Frequency. So read Frequency, hackermind.net. What I want right now from the listeners is, because first of all, it's hard to get to being at an airport. And second, you know, security probably doesn't like people messing around with stuff at airports. You know, I don't know, call me crazy, but it's not probably the best place to do your hacking, okay? So, any listeners doing some traveling, checking out an AT&T Public Phone 2000i, tell me what you find out. Send it to oldschoolfreak.com, do it at oldschoolfreak.com. Send it to Frequency. Share the knowledge. I want to learn everything about this phone. It's pretty amazing. I know what it runs. I know how much memory it has. I'll wait till the article comes out before I speak about it on the air. Yes, Rachel?
Actually, I'm going to be going out of town again. Also, I'm going to, not like you guys care, but I'm going to be going to Otakon, the largest anime convention.
Oh, jeez. Are the turtles going to be there? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Sorry.
You know, I'm going to buy Pokemon hentai and everything.
Oh, I wanted Pokemon porn. You still? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Boy, that sounds cool.
Look, my biggest point is I'm going to be going to airports.
Well, I hope you do. Yeah. Check it out. You can't miss this phone. It's got a big color touchscreen. It's got a keyboard.
I got some layovers, so I'll see what I can
Good
do.
Good deal. Please do. Rax, you were saying?
I was just going to ask Mary Chan to get the autograph of the Pink Power Ranger for me.
The dude. The Trigun's going to be there.
Who? Anyways.
You know what Trigun is, all right?
You're the same
as anime
geek
as I am.
Dude, the pink one was hot. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
or was it the
was.
Yellow one? I don't remember which one
the
I liked.
The yellow one was Asian, and the pink one was the Disney.
I like the yellow one then. I like the yellow one then.
Well, no, the pink one, I guess, started doing some, like,
porn?
Yes, that was the whole thing. She got caught, like, they put her in, like, you know, bad magazines, you know, and stuff.
What's a bad magazine?
Porn.
That is not... anyways.
You know what I mean? Bad, like, naughty, you know?
Okay, no? Naughty bad. I think we have time.
Blue Ranger.
I'm not going to call this IDT, because I think that's pretty, I think that's pretty average stuff.
Because the Blue Ranger was a nerd, but he kicked butt.
Oh, yeah, he had the glasses.
He was a representation to all hacker nerds.
He was the hacker ninja. He was the hacker ranger. Power hacker. Okay. Diet soda. Okay, I'm going to call 800. Now, let me give an intro to all this. Local Kokots, which aren't letting me call in, which is anyways, local Kokots around my town have been showing big yellow stickers, I think, and it says a big 8 cents on it, 800 max save, 8 cents a minute. Wow, that sounds great. I mean, what a great rate for a collect call from a payphone and a Kokot, no less. Boy, 8 cents a minute. Wow, that sounds great. Let's call and find out if that's true.
You know, it's probably not. Be an adult size.
It's not.
Have you tried already?
Maybe.
Hi, welcome to Hack.
Oh, please dial the number that you are calling.
Rax, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Calling 800-MAX-SAVE.
Is that the one you just did the DTMF on?
Yeah.
Folks, don't bother decoding that. It's 1-800-MAX-SAVE.
Hello, operator? Boy, I guess you really saved because you can't place your call.
This evening, you're more than welcome to meet more than 500 fries of hot 18-year-old
girls. That's Mary Chan, not the phone line. No, shh. All right, I think that's a problem. Let me try this again. Hold on, Rax. Okay, Rax, you're still there, right? I am getting the hang of this. Okay, hold on. Actually, I'm going to call him direct. I don't care. Oops. Sorry, Rax. Hold on. I thought I was going to hang with it. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the 1-800-MAX-SAVE automated operator. For English, press 1. Please enter the area code and the number you are calling, or press 0 for operator assistance. Please hold for operator assistance.
Operator 3605, how may I help you?
Good evening, man. I was wondering if I could get some rates on making a collect call, please. I saw on the phone that it said 8 cents a minute, but I want to know if there are any other fees.
Okay, sir, one moment, please, for a rate code operator.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Rate operator, may I help you?
Yes, I would like to know. I saw on the little sticker it said 8 cents a minute for calls, collect calls. I was wondering if there were any other fees for me to make a call, please.
A moment.
Thank you. Okay. Ma'am? Did she put me on hold?
Probably.
I can, like, provide a little happy music, you know?
No happy music. Oh, they should? They're actually Opticom operators. So they're, like, third party, I guess. I don't know who runs 800-MAX-SAVE. Ma'am? What's the deal?
It's like, you know, music.
A rate code operator, a separate operator for rate codes.
Yeah, I've done this before. I've done it a couple of times, and they pop right up.
So why don't you give it away and tell us what the catch is?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to. It is kind of late at night, I guess.
That or I can just sing Fly Me to the Moon.
No.
That could be the hold music.
No. No sex lines, no hold music. All right, screw it. Rax, you there?
That was kind of anticlimactic.
Well, this is pseudo-live radio. Pseudo-live radio. Here's the thing. It says 8 cents a minute. It's not. First of all, there's a little asterisk, and you look at the bottom, and it says at a certain time, you know, only in the evenings, plus a setup fee. So I called this to see what it really is, and to make one collect call, 1 to 4 minutes from the area code I'm in to the next state, was $30.
Ah!
$30. I knew rates were high, but not that high. This was just, what a ripoff. How dare they put 8 cents a minute?
How do they do that? They bill it to your home phone or something?
Here's what it is. It's, what was it? She told me the fees. There's one, like, a transaction fee that's like, basically, here's what it is. It's like one fee that's $15, another fee that's $15, and then you get like 1 to 4 minutes at 8 cents a minute. Only in the evenings, though. Only at this specified time. So it's just a huge scam. And, of course, they slap it on these cocots, and it's really, really prominent. So, call, and you can, by the way, they third-party bill. Not that I'm telling you to third-party bill, but they, and I think they do that pretty freely. 800-MAX-SAVE, which is 800-629-7283. Now, Rax, this has become basically a tradition. Oh, no lack of security award this week. I'll give it to the airports. You got it, airports, for frisking that old man. Please.
Take away his pants and
taking
everybody.
His nail clippers. Oh, that reminds me. I got a great list from an airport. And you know what? I tell you what. The airlines were pretty nice to me this trip. They had a list, a huge list, 8.5 by 11 list of prohibited items, and it's unbelievable. Ammunition, automatic weapons, axes, baseball bats, BB guns, billy clubs, blackjacks, blasting caps, box cutters, all the way down to stun guns, shocking devices, swords, tear gas, throwing stars, toy transformer robots, Forms toy gun, and toy weapons. It's just this, you know, this huge list, and it's hanging on my wall. I just thought it was it's so perfect for our day and age of rampant terrorism, and hackers need to go to jail for life, you know, for killing people with their computers. That is so funny. That's like, isn't that like a bad 80s movie?
We didn't even talk about that, honestly,
Rax, I purposely did that. A lot of other shows talk about it. I did want to mention it. I didn't want to go into depth because there's a lot to it. It is like a bad 80s movie with like Emilio Estevez where you like kill somebody with your computer to get life. So it's not, might not be as bad as we think, but still, we're getting vilified. You got to be really, really wary about what you do.
And you know, folks, that's why it's important to go to the 2600 meetings, to go to these conferences. It is a community, and you're there with people with similar interests and similar backgrounds, but you have to find out this information. And as we put on the banner for the thing, it's technology, knowledge, privacy, and freedom. And, you know, our freedom and privacy are being impinged upon all the time by big corporations, by the government, as the lapdog for big corporations and all that kind of stuff. So you really need to be aware of these things, but you need to share that knowledge. You need to share that information. And that's part of what the show and the website's all about, right, Duel?
Exactly. And I'm saying that other sites have talked about it. I'm sure you read about it on Slash. I heard about it on Off the Hook. If you even remotely care about the community, you've heard about it, you know about it. That's why I didn't honestly have a whole section about it. I did mention it, and I did plan to mention it. I felt like this one, not that it's been beaten to death, but it's just, you know, I do want to reiterate things on the show and make sure that important points are reemphasized on our show. Because just what Rex said, being active, continuing to do what you do, continuing to explore is very important. And you need to be active in more than just hacking. You need to be active with your legislators, in your community, and I believe hacking and being knowledgeable and spreading the knowledge that you gain and that you gain from others is essential. I don't know why. I just felt this one really. When I first read it, I was flabbergasted. You know, my mouth was agape. And then, of course, I read that, you know, it's only life if you cause death, you know, using a computer, which is silly. I mean, what's the you kill somebody with a gun with a computer, you kill somebody. I don't think that matters.
You can pick up a laptop, bash someone over the head with it.
That's right. Is that, oh boy, you're a hacker now. You know, it's already absurd what hackers are, you know, the sentences hackers are getting, you know, and it is wrong.
There was another thing. Now, I can't remember the guy's name, but this is on CNN and everything on their website and some various other sites. The guy who is like he's the number two guy for cybersecurity for the country. He used to work for Microsoft in security, which lets you know how qualified he is there, considering how many security holes Microsoft has. But he's going into this thing about, actually Security Focus is where the article was, how in the future, I mean, you know, he said by 2005 the power grid is going to collapse because of hackers.
Did he say that?
Appliances, pacemakers, everything is going to be hooked up to the internet, and it's all going to be susceptible to all these viruses. Then this article is kind of funny because of the first paragraph of it, and maybe we can link this off the site here, Duel. But you know, basically, it sounds like Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling.
What,
you know,
dumbass.
All hackers are going to do all this stuff.
Hey, Billy, let's hack into the computer and shut off Grandma's pacemaker so we can collect on her health insurance.
That's right, so we can get the gold fillings out of her teeth. What a dumbass.
So I mean, you get that kind of stuff when someone in supposed authority is speaking with, you know, the credence and authority of the government behind it. He's the number two guy. Think of it, folks. He's the number two guy in charge of cybersecurity for the nation, and he's going around doing all this doomsday Chicken Little bullshit. And you know what's going to happen? The mainstream media is going to eat that up, so it's going to get even worse.
I'm sorry. I just remember that story.
What story?
About Chicken Little.
All right, I don't want to hear about Chicken Little. No porn lines, no Chicken Little, no singing. And you know what? Unfortunately, I'm not finding this funny. Why am I not? I used to.
Because technically it's bad if people start believing it.
Well, yeah, and when I heard about this Hackers for Life, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I could not fathom such ill logic. And it's almost...
want a scapegoat.
Well, it almost like made me unhappy. I didn't want to talk about it on the show, honestly. I really didn't want... I just... Even the mere fact of saying that. Hackers go to jail for life. For what? Motherfuckers? For... Oh, gosh.
We
sorry.
So
for
mad.
Playing with a computer? For exploring? All right. Sorry. I said MF-er, didn't I? Holy moly.
On that happy note.
It was such a happy show, too. I'm going to start. I just made Mary Chan cry. Oh, she's only got a couple weeks left. It's okay. I'll probably go to jail for saying MF-er. All right.
But this is not on broadcast radio. We don't have to worry about the FCC.
That's true. That's true. But I'm not going to edit it.
So can I say, like, bomb a lot?
Even saying that, even putting those words together, in prison, hacker and in prison for life, is silly.
And bomb.
The true, yeah. You know, it's just the truest meaning of the word, you know. Anyways. Okay.
We got to end it, man.
Okay, and as I was saying, it's become basically a tradition for you to pick the ending music. Pick it, baby.
Well, if we can dig it up in honor of Jello Biafra, who was featured all over the place at H2K2, plus the fact that DEF CON's coming up, we're going to have hopefully go out here with Jello doing Viva Las Vegas.
Very nice. I hope you can find it.
Woohoo!
Dual Parallel, Radio Freak 21, Rax.
What's your catchphrase, man?
Oh, be the media, baby. And Mary Chan, cheer it up, baby. Oh, come on. Aren't you going to say anything?
Oh, love and peace.
Love and peace. Smooched in my fucking nooch.
Yeah,
that's right. She said, lick my ass. Say that again. Hold on. Say it real deep and sexy.
Lick my ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember she said, you said motherfucker before.
Yeah, I said smooch the motherfucking nooch, and I could say it again.
Okay,
really.
Say something else sexy. Oh, forget it. See you, Rax.
All right, keep knowledge free.
You see it once, you'll never be the same again.